Hi, I'm Deborah Pearson, and this is my first thought. I sometimes wonder whether or not I am an artist because I am so adverse to bureaucracy. Maybe there are some artists out there who are listening to this who are excellent with bureaucracy, but when it comes to signing contracts and filling out forms and in general, doing anything that involves a printer and my signature, I somehow seem to be at a complete loss. I once talked to a therapist about this, saying that anytime I see boxes on a piece of paper, I actually feel like I might go mad. And it was funny. It was one of those times you expect a therapist to tell you that everything's normal, but it was one of those times that she really looked at me and was like, weird. Hi, I'm Deborah Pearson, and this is my second thought. I am in the studio right now, really very deep into the process of making a piece about the Hungarian Revolution and a film that my grandfather starred in 1956. And I suppose that means that the main thing I'm thinking about, and that I suppose I will be thinking about for the next week and a half or so, is really the weight of history, the impossibility of translating it to ourselves, whether it be in a foreign language like Hungarian or in English, and the kind of violent cuts that we end up making in the narrative of history, the importance of familiarity and the stories that get told over and over again. It's amazing because when it comes to the Hungarian Revolution, unless you're Hungarian, you just don't know about it. It's not as though those deaths were less significant than others or more significant than others, but they are kind of less well-known than others. I guess that's me for today. Hi, my name's Deborah Pearson, and this is my third thought. Today is election day in the UK, where I am able to vote. I can no longer vote in Canada because I've lived away for too long, but I can vote here. And I am kind of anticipating the polling booth. It's funny, I'm very excited about the moment of voting, and I'm really afraid of the moment when they announce the results of the election. I think that that probably officially means that I'm a member of the Green Party, which is totally fine. Let's see. I guess we'll see what the results are tomorrow. But one great idea I did have for democracy today is that although the more people who vote, the less valuable your vote is, the more people who vote, the less valuable other people's votes are. And I think that's a very positive thing when you live in a country where lots of people seem to want to vote for a heartless rich people's party. So, Deborah Pearson here, and this is my fourth thought. So I suppose I was extremely right yesterday to be excited about voting and have large trepidations about the day when the election results were announced, because today a conservative majority has been announced in the country where I'm living, the United Kingdom. It's an incredibly depressing result, and I'm having a hard time today thinking anything other than anger. It's interesting how a situation like this makes it very difficult to remain hopeful about being an artist or working in an experimental field or caring about the most, or living in a society that cares about its most vulnerable members. But I suppose we shall see. And as a good friend of mine, Gemma Paynton from the theater company Action Hero, pointed out on Facebook today, if we get to a point where we expect the conservative government to take away everything that we hold dear, then we'll struggle less when they try to do it. And so we can't just accept that things are going to be horrible. We have to not accept any of it. Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and this is my fifth thought, I believe, maybe the fourth. I'm starting to lose track of them. I am working today at the Norwich Arts Centre in Norwich, UK, where I'm presenting a work in progress of my show, The Wonder Striker. And very embarrassingly walking along the tricky pavements here that I don't know that well, the tricky sidewalks, I tumbled and fell. And I had that moment of sitting on the side of a curb in great pain, crying, and wondering if anybody would stop to help me. One person walked by, and then one person did stop. And then I went to A&E, and it turns out I'm fine. I just can't sort of jump up and down or dance or run for the next couple of weeks. But there was this moment when people were being so nice to me after I'd fallen, and I realized that one of the really, I mean, this might just sound very cliched, but one of the really beautiful things about living is just seeing kindness. And I don't even know if it makes much of a difference if the kindness is directed towards you or towards someone else. I think I could watch, I mean, I can just watch endless videos of just people, of animals being kind to each other, people being kind to each other. I mean, it doesn't matter even if it's exercised by people. It's just, there's something about that that impulse of kindness that obviously is a great thing to have exposed to yourself, but it's a beautiful thing to watch someone else do too. So that's my fourth or fifth thought. Thanks. Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and this is my sixth thought. Today I'm actually interested in talking about wisteria. I'm here in Norwich, and there's a church really near to where I'm staying that is just covered in wisteria. And it occurred to me that I've been living in the UK for almost 10 years now. Maybe wisteria exists in Canada too, I don't know, but for some reason I've never noticed this particular flower before. It is a large kind of like, almost like a willow tree, but its flowers, big, beautiful purple flowers that smell incredible. And it's so strange to think that I'm 32 years old and I've only now discovered what kind of flower that is. And every time I walk past it, I just want to basically bury my face in it and smell it. I'm not really sure why that's a great thought, but it just seems weird to me that I've been around, you know, for a while, and I've never taken the time to take a lot of pleasure out of this obviously unspeakably beautiful and pleasurable thing. But now that I've noticed the wisteria, I know I'll go on noticing it forever. Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and this is my seventh thought. It's funny because I've just been online surfing the internet, just reading a variety of sort of somewhat ridiculous articles, but all sorts of different things. And it occurs to me while on the Facebook news feed that doing that sort of aimless wandering online through, you know, article after article actually completely deprives you of thought. There's something about the associative process between one link and another that feels very much like associative thinking, but without any kind of real input or effort on your part. It's as though you've made thinking an entirely receptive activity as opposed to one that you have to put any effort into at all. And so I suppose on that note, if you're listening to this, if somehow you got to this thought in your kind of, I don't know, internet wanderings, I would suggest walking away from your computer. Just see how that feels for a bit. I suppose that's not the correct thought to have today, but hopefully a useful one for you.
Hi, this is Deborah Pearson. I have lost track of which thought we are on now. I am in Lisbon, Portugal at the moment, and I have been thinking about the beauty of decay in European cities. How there's this interesting thing where if a city is cleaned too frequently, it sort of somehow loses the beauty of age that comes with kind of like layers of dirt and grime on old-looking buildings. I have no idea what that's about, but it's a great thing.
Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and this is my ninth thought. Actually, it's very funny. I'm on vacation at the moment, and a friend has been bothering me to get this recorded so that we can go to dinner. And I said to him, as he was bugging me about recording this thought, stop being mad at everyone. And he said, I'm not mad at everyone. I'm mad at you. And I said, isn't it funny how when someone's mad at you, it can sometimes feel like they're mad at everyone? To which he replied, I think there are two kinds of people in this world, which perhaps suggested that my idea of if somebody's mad at you, it feels like they're mad at everyone thing is an incredibly, I don't know, self-centered thing to say. But anyway, on that note, he will no longer be mad at me, and it will no longer feel as though he is mad at everyone, because this thought is done.
Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and this is my 10th thought. I was thinking recently about the idea of spoiler alerts and how kind of funny they are, but I was thinking how it would be one of these really horrible vocal tics if a person started saying spoiler alert all the time in conversation. Like, for example, if I said something like, hey, spoiler alert, I'm going to the shop later, or hey, spoiler alert, I'm going to be a day late with recording my thought for Spiderweb Show. Or, hey, spoiler alert, this thought isn't going to last very long or be very inspiring.
Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and this is my penultimate thought for this particular thought residency. Thanks so much for sticking with me this long and for listening to as many thoughts as you did, if you did listen to more than just this one. Today I was actually thinking, recently there's a funny thing. I live in the UK, I've been here for almost 10 years, and I have Netflix. And one thing that I do as a result of having Netflix, and occasionally watching American Netflix, is I watch old episodes of the television show Friends. Now, there's always been some sort of like, I hope you don't mind, this thought's going to be a bit longer than the others. There's always been a belief that I've had that British people are simply slightly crazy, or that there's something a little bit wrong with them for their obsession with Friends. Since I was a child, I remember my British cousin coming to Canada, and she could not stop talking in the 1990s about how much she loved this TV show Friends, which I thought was like a good show, but I didn't think it was anywhere near as incredible as she thought it was. And I remember how excited my dad and I were to show her Seinfeld, because we were like, look, Friends is just a pale impersonation of this much more exciting and radical thing. And I can remember her sitting down and trying to watch Seinfeld and not being that interested or impressed. So that kind of like micro interaction basically stands in as a symbol for, or as a very useful example for, most conversations I've had about Seinfeld and Friends with British people whilst living here. And yet, recently, when Seinfeld released its kind of, I don't know, box sets, and I started rewatching Seinfeld, I did realize that there are many shows that did not make syndication, which are not as great as I remembered or as I would like them to be. Whereas rewatching Friends, at least the first season, I have been very surprised at how enjoyable it is. The thing about it is that you need to watch it in order. The real satisfaction from Friends comes not from watching a random rerun as we usually watch in North America. And I think that's why I've always felt like it's a somewhat mediocre or sort of brain-numbing television show. It comes from the way that they were building characters and their relationships over time. And if you watch it in order, it does have at least the first season is working a strange kind of magic on me. And oddly, it kind of makes you feel like you're hanging out with your friends, which is strange. And it can be quite funny. Anyway, I've wondered whether or not this is because the show was always better than I remembered it to be, whether or not this was because when the show was on and I was watching it in order, I was far too young to understand any of the things that the characters in the show might be grappling with, like living in a big city and trying to find your way and trying to find your job, etc. Whether or not this is just that I've lived in the UK so long that now I have been infected with this strange kind of like friends-loving disease, like quietly while I didn't notice it happening. Just whether or not it was always a better show than I was giving it credit for being. Anyway, that's my penultimate thought. It's about the television show Friends. I'm not dissing Seinfeld. It's still an incredible show. And I think there would never have been Friends without Seinfeld. We all know that. But
But yeah, I have been pleasantly surprised by the pleasure of rewatching Friends on Netflix. Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and I have been quite bad. I forgot to think yesterday. I didn't forget to literally think, but I forgot to send a thought for Tuesday. Given that this is my last week of thought residencies, I feel like maybe this is somewhat allowed. It's a funny thing. I guess my thought is about what it means to forget. Sometimes we deliberately forget things. I don't know. There can just be times when we decide we don't care about a thing enough, and so we decide to forget it. Sometimes we forget completely unconsciously. When we do a thing out of carelessness, it's interesting how difficult it can be to then decide to take the blame, because when you look back on it, you just can't picture how you ever could have done things differently. I have no idea where this sits on the forgetting and culpability scale, but I do know that it has made me consider what it means to take responsibility for a thing, even if it's a thing that you can't remember screwing up. Hi, this is Deborah Pearson, and this is my ultimate, aka final thought for this thought residency. I have been avoiding sending in this thought all yesterday and today, really, because it's always difficult to figure out what you want to say last when you have to say something last. And the truth is, it's an impossible task to figure out how to say, how to have your last thought in any situation, particularly in this public one. So I suppose all I can say for this last thought is I am sitting in my apartment. I am, my best friend and my husband are watching the documentary Jesus Camp in the room next door to me. I've had to take a little break from that movie because it's just so intense. And it's a little bit cold. And I know that none of those things are thoughts, but they're observations. But in a way, sometimes observing is the best way of thinking. So thank you to this thought residency for allowing me to spend a month observing.